Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We're in a sermon series on Sunday nights and on the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of confusion today about the Holy Spirit. And hopefully we're going to be able to clear some of that up in this. I don't know how long this sermon series is going to last, but it's already been good. It's not because of me. It's because of who we're talking about. The work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. He's coexistent, co-eternal, and co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. And the first two messages on the Holy Spirit were more doctrinal, and I think that was important. And tonight I'd like to kind of move into the practical. But let me just read one verse and we'll move on from here. I love this verse because it is a beautiful picture of the Trinity. It's in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. And it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's God the Son, and the love of God, that's God the Father, and the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that's God the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful prayer? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Look at your neighbor tonight and say, amen. Father, I pray now that you might bless the reading and the teaching and the preaching of your holy and inerrant, inspired, infallible, authoritative word. Bless us tonight, Father, with your word. And may the Holy Spirit have His way here tonight. We ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the messages and the Word in the Word of God on the Holy Spirit is not just to be studied, but to be experienced. I said that the Word about the Holy Spirit of God is not only to be read and studied, He is to be experienced. And I want to just share my heart with you tonight. I spent the first 25 years of my Christian experience and my Christian life keeping a safe distance from the ministry and the warmth and the comfort of the Holy Spirit for fear of being labeled a holy roller or a Jesus freak. I was taught to keep a safe doctrinal distance from the supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit. And yet as I moved through my Christian life, some of you all may have felt this as well, I began to get frustrated, and I felt unproductive, often felt defeated in my Christian experience, and I had to keep confessing the same old sins over and over again to the Lord, and I would do the best that I could. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah. I would do the best that I could to live the Christian life, trying harder and harder every time I fell short. Are y'all with me? Now, this is just my experience. And I often wondered if I had missed something. I did. I would ask myself, surely there's got to be more than what I'm experiencing in my Christian life. I often had trouble discerning God's leadership and direction in my life. I was up and down. I was inconsistent in my walk with the Lord. I lacked the boldness that I read about those early Christians having. I didn't seem to have that. And I thought, you know, there's got to be more to this life of faith and church meetings, Bible studies, periodic prayers, and all this religious mumbo jumbo. Can anybody identify with what I'm talking about? I think most of us that grew up in my context would understand what I'm talking about. Really, what I was longing for was the fire of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what I was needing. That's what I was wanting. And if you want to know the truth, that's where most of the church is tonight. Right where I was for 25 years. Right smack dab in the middle of trying to do church and trying to be the Christian that God wants me to be in my own strength and in my own power. And I want to tell you, without the power of the Holy Spirit, the Christian life is impossible. Let me say that one more time. Without the power, without the presence, without the person of the Holy Spirit and His work being yielded, every area, corner, and heart of my heart, the Christian life is frustrating. Some of the most miserable people I know are Christians who are not yielded and surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God. And so, let me kind of put it like this. How many of you know Diana Hampton? Well, half of you are not sure if you do or not. How many of y'all know Diana Hampton? All right. She's my beautiful wife. And some of you know a lot about Diana. You know she's kind of short. And how many of you know, you know, she likes to sing for the Lord? And she's at home right now with my three small grandchildren that just rolled in this afternoon. And she felt bad about not being here. And most of you know Diana, she really likes to dress. I mean, she loves it when we get invited to go somewhere nice because then she gets to dress. You know what I'm talking about? And she loves, I mean, she'll be late to her own funeral. Everywhere she goes, she's late. If she can't be late, she's not going. Understand what I'm saying? See, y'all just think you know about Diana, but I know Diana. Because I've experienced life with her for 35 years, almost 36 years. So I know that, and that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. We know all about the Holy Spirit, but have we experienced the Spirit of the Lord Jesus? So before we get going good tonight, there are a lot of symbols in the Bible about that kind of qualify and are trying to describe the Spirit of God, really. And one of those words is the word wind. Wind. Jesus said the wind blows where it wishes, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does move and minister in any direction that He wants to in our lives. Amen. I mean, how many of you have been somewhere and all of a sudden you weren't expecting it, but the Spirit of God just showed up and you knew exactly what to do? Three of you? All right. Praise the Lord. And so the word wind is used to describe the Spirit of God. And then there's the word breathe or the word breath. Wind and spirit and breath are all used to describe the Holy Spirit. And the word breath is, of course, used to describe the Spirit of God. And you know, when you read the Bible, every time God breathes His breath into someone or something, it comes to life. The word oil is used to describe the Holy Spirit all throughout the Scripture. We're told to anoint the sick with oil. Now, does oil heal anybody? No. Who does the healing? That's right. The Holy Spirit of Jesus is the one who heals. Okay? And the Spirit that heals, the only reason we use oil is because oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me? Well, some of y'all are mooncalfed right now. I mean, And so oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And then water. You remember when Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come and what? Drink. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit there. And so there's a lot of different elements in the Bible that describe the work and the ministry and the person of the Spirit of God. But the one I like best is the word fire. Can you say that word with me? Fire. Just sounds good, doesn't it? Fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, John the Baptist, is the only one who said this. He said it in the Gospels. He said, when the Messiah comes, he will do what? I'm not worthy to unloose his sandals, but when he comes, what's he going to do? He's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You remember that? And last week, you remember we learned that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are never told in Scripture, we are never commanded to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not one time is there a command to be baptized in the Spirit. But we are told many times, commanded to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Many times. That's a command. Over there in Ephesians 5:18, that's a present tense verb, to keep on being filled. That's a command. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place where? One time. Where? Acts, that's right, Acts 2:4. And so that baptism of the... Well, let's turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Some of y'all are looking kind of confused. Maybe you weren't with us last time. That's okay. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The baptism of the Holy Ghost takes place once. Okay? For by one Spirit, by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So when does the baptism of the Holy Spirit take place? At the moment of salvation. The moment you are saved, the Spirit of God baptizes you, immerses you into the body of Christ. Somebody say glory. And if you can't wrap your heart around that, listen to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, there is one body. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, Ephesians 4, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. And so after the outpouring and the coming and the baptizing of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, all throughout the rest of the book of Acts and all throughout the epistles, when someone is saved, the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to baptize, immerse that believer in the body of Christ. And then that believer is commanded to be filled over and over and over and over again by the Spirit of Almighty God. Are y'all with me? Okay. Now I know that may upset somebody in here theologically, but what I've just told you is there's one baptism done by one Spirit, and there's one calling. And so if you've been saved, if you've been born again, you have been baptized, immersed by the Spirit of Almighty God into the body of Christ. And what a beautiful body Christ has. Look at your neighbor and say, you are beautiful. Ooh, y'all are struggling now, aren't you? All right. What a beautiful body Christ has. And so, having said all of that, let's talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit. First of all, fire penetrates. Luke chapter 3 and verse 16 says that John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Fire penetrates, and fire is symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God. Fire goes all the way to the core, does it not? Now, this is plastic, but what kind of material is this podium? Wood. Yeah. Now, let's just say that if I soak this pulpit in water today and then tried to set it on fire, what would happen? Nothing, because it's what? But now, if I saturated and soaked this pulpit in water and then set it on fire, eventually what would happen? This old pulpit began to burn. Why? Because fire penetrates. Fire, and by the way, I don't know who your pastor is or who your preacher is, but if he'll catch fire, they'll come from miles around to watch him burn. Tell David Mackins I said that. David's on fire, if you've never heard David. He is a fiery preacher. But the reference here to a baptism of fire in Luke 3:17 has to do with judgment. And if your house were to catch fire tonight, and I hope it doesn't, it'll burn to the ground. Why? Because fire penetrates. And when you give the Holy Spirit access to your life, the Holy Spirit will penetrate those deep, dark areas of your life, and He'll burn up all of those things that He does not want in your life. Amen? I mean, I like that. He's going to burn up those things that He does not like. And He'll burn up the bitterness in your life. He'll burn up the anger in your life. It's left you sour and rotten. And He'll burn up prejudice. He'll burn up alcoholism. And He'll burn up drug addiction. He'll transform you with His fire, because fire penetrates. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to consume us, when we open up all the areas and avenues and corners in our heart, so to speak, that allows the Holy Spirit to purify us. And the Holy Spirit loves to get down where I'm at, where I really am. And I don't know how you are, but I think some of us from time to time find ourselves lonely. You ever experience loneliness? What a friend we have in Jesus. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. Romans 8:9. And if you need a friend tonight, the Holy Spirit will take up residence in your heart and in your life. And He'll become more than you ever dreamed of. I'm so thankful for the fiery ministry, the warmth, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus said, I've got to go away. Because if I don't go away, then the Holy Spirit cannot come. And the Holy Spirit can give you whatever you need tonight. Way down there where you're hurting, to the deepest parts of your life. If you've got bitterness like we were talking about, if you've got anger in your heart, if you've got unforgiveness in your heart tonight, if you've got issues going on deep down in your spirit, let the fire of the Holy Spirit penetrate and set that mess on fire and get rid of it. And, you know, by the way, the Holy Spirit also brings joy. I said the Holy Spirit brings joy. Have you ever wondered why there has to be a cold water committee in every Baptist church? Kevin, have you ever wondered that? I mean, you know, you catch some Baptist on fire at a church, you know, and they're just, man, they're filled with joy unspeakable. They're full of glory. And all of a sudden, here comes the cold water committee to pour water on that fire. The Holy Spirit's responsible for joy. And no one can take my joy from me. Amen. And why did the skeleton cross the street? You know why? You don't know why the skeleton crossed the street? Because he didn't have the guts. You'll forget that tonight, but the Holy Spirit will keep giving you joy. Amen? The Holy Spirit penetrates like fire. And I will tell you, the curse of modern day religion is so stinking shallow. But the deepness and the penetrating power of the Spirit of God is available all day long, every day, for every child of God. And I want to tell you, this lack of experience of the Spirit's work and ministry in the church has left us impotent and lifeless. And we need to allow the fire and the warmth and the penetrating comfort of the Holy Spirit to reach our inmost being and just let Him go to work. Fire penetrates. Fire also purifies. I touched on that, but go with me to Malachi. Last book in your Old Testament. Malachi 3, and then verse 2. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Fire purifies. Malachi 3 and verse 2. But who can endure the day of His coming? And who can stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. And He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Well, fire will burn your house down. Fire can destroy, but when fire consumes us, the fire of the Spirit consumes us, it purifies us. It purifies us. I think about all of those who have rejected Christ. Why would you want to burn for eternity when Jesus went to your hell for you? The fire of judgment has been taken by the Son of God. And if your house catches fire, everything in it's going to burn up. But when you give the Holy Spirit access to your life, He'll burn up those things He doesn't like, and you'll be the better for it. He'll transform you with fire. Malachi here is talking about the refiner's fire. You know, fire is what they used to use and still do in a lot of places to purify gold and silver. They'll heat that gold up, they'll heat that silver up, and then they'll skim the impurities off the top, and then they'll heat it up again and skim the impurities off, and heat it up again and heat it up again and skim the impurities off. And do you know when they quit heating it up? When you can see your reflection in the gold. You know what Jesus is doing? He's turning up the fire through His Spirit and getting rid of those impurities. And when He's done, you're going to look like Jesus. Somebody would have charged y'all $500 to hear that tonight. Bless God. You're going to look like Jesus. This brother and I were just talking a few minutes ago about how God uses a tool called suffering. How many of y'all love the tool of suffering? But I want to tell you, it's one of God's sharpest tools that He uses on His people. And when we walk through the valley of suffering, God's getting rid of that stuff in our life that we don't need. And He's purifying us. And then when we get to the end of that valley, the Holy Spirit has done His work and He's purified us. You see, we're not ready for heaven tonight. Oh, I am. No, you're not. We've got too many impurities in our life. And God uses the fire. Y'all, that's some pretty decent preaching right there. God is using the heat of the Holy Spirit to get rid of those things in my life that He's not happy with. And one day, when He's done, I may not look like much tonight, but one of these days, the Bible says we shall be like Him. Whoo, glory to His name. And so, you know, you ever tried to forgive somebody in your own strength? How useless that is. Have you ever tried to, you know, and the harder you keep trying to forgive somebody in your own strength, the harder it gets, right? I mean, it's terrible. You've got to allow and yield to the Holy Spirit to do those things in His life that He wants to do. And so fire penetrates, fire purifies. And turn with me to Exodus 13. We're going to go to another Old Testament scripture. Exodus 13. Exodus 13. Well, I don't hear those pages now. Are we worn out? Exodus 13, 21. Final thing I want to say about the Holy Spirit's fire is it not only penetrates and purifies, His fire provides. Look at verse 21 out of Exodus 13. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go on by day and night. Fire brings warmth. Fire brings light. And it sets other things on fire. Fire ignites. Fire brings fervency. And you know, just like if you were one of those Israelites in one of those tents, and there was a canopy like over those 2 million Israelites, a cloud by day. Have y'all ever been, anybody here ever been over to the Sinai Desert? Man, that is one of the hottest places on planet Earth. Well, the Israelites for 40 years had a canopy, a pillar of cloud by day to lead them and guide them. And then when the sun goes down, it's awful chilly at night over there in the desert. If you go to Israel with me, you're going to get to experience some of that. And so the Lord would, His presence was there at night in the pillar of what? Fire. And that fire gave them warmth and gave them the light that they needed. And by the way, the Holy Spirit of God wants you to have that same warmth, that same comfort, and that same presence, that same power tonight. And you can't live the life God wants you to live without the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, whenever you're around, you ever been around somebody who's just concerned for lost people? You ever been around anybody who's always praying for the hurting and the distressed? You ever been around somebody who has a love for God's Word and just can't get enough of it? You ever been around somebody who just loves people no matter what? Well, you know who that is? That's the fire of the Holy Spirit, providing those things that a believer needs. The Holy Spirit brings passion into your life. The Holy Spirit, and you know, how do I say this nicely? Yesterday started college football season. And there is a team up in East Tennessee that wears orange uniforms. Oh my goodness. And I was seeing things on Facebook last night. One of my buddies down in Waynesboro, who's one of my deacons, he's a huge Tennessee fan. And he took a selfie of himself And he had a brown old, you remember those old brown grocery sacks? He had one of those on his head and had his orange shirt on and had his, anyways, you know. And I got to thinking, and he was talking about how sad he was and how, and I get all that. But what if we were as passionate about the Spirit of God as we are about our sports teams? Huh? What if we were as excited and passionate about the things of God as we are about these things that are going to burn up? Well, I tell you what we'd do. We'd set Clarksville, Tennessee on fire for God. That's what would happen. What is it that really grabs you? What is it that really captivates you? What is it that you find yourself daydreaming about? When you don't have anything to do, what is it that you think about? Or should I say, who is it? Well, if it's not the Lord Jesus or His Spirit, it ought to be. I'm saying that to me. I like college football as well as anybody. But may it never be said of me that I'm more passionate about any kind of football than I am about the Spirit of the Almighty God. Because when it's all said and done, I'm not going to stand before some football coach. I'm not even going to stand before the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm not going to stand before the president of the United States. I'm going to stand before the creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to have to give an account for how I handled the ministry that God gave me. So I want to tell you, I'm in my last days. I've got more days behind me than I've got ahead of me. And I want to finish well. I want to finish well. And I want to get such a bad case of Holy Spirit fire that I just can't help it. And you know, Ephesians 5:18 is so simple. And it tells us exactly what to do. And you can't stir this stuff up by yourself. You can't get what you need. Only the Spirit of God can give it to you. So I want to close and end tonight's discussion on the Holy Spirit with Ephesians 5:18. Because this is what we need. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. We talked about this 3 weeks ago. I want to come back to it tonight. And do not be drunk with wine. Now, somebody who's drunk with wine or drunk with alcohol is under the influence of alcohol. Would y'all say amen? Amen. I'm not talking about somebody who's had one drink. I'm talking about somebody who's drunk. They are totally under the influence of alcohol, right? And so he's making this contrast here, in which is dissipation. And then here's this present tense verb, which speaks of continuity. It literally leads, but keep on being filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? It means keep, even as the drunkard is under the control of alcohol, so too does the believer need to be constantly under the control of the Holy Spirit. Well, how does that happen? It's real simple. I surrender. That's un-American, isn't it? But you see, we all have to get to the point where we're willing to yield ourselves, to surrender every area of our life. How many of you know the Spirit of God knows what's best for each one of us? The Spirit of Almighty God is who knows best. He's got a better plan for my life than Cal Hampton does. And He's got a better plan and a better purpose for your life than you do. And so as we surrender, I was sitting right over here tonight. You know what I'm praying? Oh, Lord Jesus, it's so good to see Ms. Rainey tonight. I'm so glad that she's here tonight. I just love that little lady. And God, would you speak to her? Give Ms. Rainey what she... Sometimes I'll be praying, but tonight, you know what I'm praying for? Lord, I believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God, I believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Right now, I confess all my sin. Anything that you're not happy with, tell me right now. I want to turn from it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you, as a matter of fact, Lord, you're commanding me to be filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. Would you take control of my words, take control of my attitudes, my thoughts, my speech, my actions, everything? Holy Spirit, I am yours. Fill me. And you know what? God, fill me with His Spirit. That's all we have to do. And God fills us on a regular basis. And He will give you the power to live the Christian life. He'll give you warmth. He'll give you the words to say to your co-workers about Jesus. He'll tell you who to go see. He'll give you power to do things you never believed you'd be doing. He'll wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and tell you you need to go down to Second Mile Church and help them out with their music on Sunday night. That's what God told Dwight. Who said that? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God will tell you what you need to hear, and He'll give you the power to accomplish what He's telling you to do. Whoo! Can you ever get a deal like that? And then at the end of life, you get to hear these words. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy salvation. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was one of my all-time favorite preachers 150 years ago. And like most preachers, he was kind of brokenhearted over a church member who'd fell by the wayside. They'd quit attending and quit coming. And so the Spirit of God moved on Charles Haddon Spurgeon's life, and he knew he needed to go see this guy. And so he went to visit him, and it was a real cold winter evening. But he knocked on the door, and this church member hadn't been in church in months. And he walked in, invited him in. Preacher sat down in the living room, and they got to talking about a lot of things. And while they were talking, Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, the Metropolitan Baptist Church in London, England, went over there. The guy had a fire going, and he took that poker and grabbed one of the white hot coals in the fire, and he moved it out on the hearth. And then went and sat down. And they just kept talking. And while he was sitting there, that white hot coal got cold. And it turned colors. And then the preacher got back up. And he scooted that coal, the poker, back into the hot fire. And in just a matter of seconds, that dark, cold chunk of coal was white hot again. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon looked at his church member, and the church member said, "I get it. I get it." And it just may be that tonight you need that warmth, that comfort, that penetrating power and fire of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that can give you what you need tonight. He can overcome anything that you're up against. And He'll move you through whatever you've got to go through. But it begins by allowing Him to do what He wants to do. A yieldedness, a surrender, a saying, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." Father, we thank You for this evening. I thank You for the wonderful presence and the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. Lord, I remember in my own life There have been seasons when I was so dry and I was so frustrated and I was so angry. There have been times in my life when, God, I was just at my wit's end. And Lord, as I look back at those times, I wasn't being filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. I was being disobedient. And I believe there are people here tonight in the presence of my voice that need to surrender and give a fresh yieldedness to the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit's power can have His way here tonight. And Lord, if there's one here that does not know Jesus, may he or she allow the baptism of the Holy Spirit to take place. And that comes through calling on you, being willing to turn from our sin and asking Jesus to forgive us. And by faith, trusting in the finished work of Christ and asking Him to become the Lord of our life. If that needs to be done tonight, you pray that prayer that only you can pray and ask God to save you. But I think most of us in here are saved. And nobody's looking around tonight. This is between you and God and the preacher tonight. But if you were here tonight and you'd be honest enough to say, "You're right, Pastor. You're right, preacher. You're right, Cal. I need to surrender. I need a fresh yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. Would you please pray for me?" Nobody's looking around. Just slip your hand up in the air. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? I need a fresh move. Thank you. Anybody else? I need a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in my life tonight. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Father, may these who have lifted up holy hands tonight be filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. May they open up their hearts and their lives to a fresh yieldedness of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, have your way in our hearts. Let us open up every corner of our spirit to you. You know best. Cleanse us. Oh, help us, Lord. Please, God, do a work in the lives of my brothers and sisters and get them where they need to be on victorious, abundant ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.